All right. So I'd just like to sort of test the audio levels for a minute. Could you just tell me your name and what you had for breakfast this morning?
My name is Matt Lim, and I had that god-awful continental breakfast this morning.
Thanks. And just so I have this sort of on tape, do I have your permission to record this interview and use it and edit it for this documentary?
You sure do.
Fantastic. Thanks so much for doing this. So my first question, just starting out, is how does the idea of the model minority, how has that affected your life, and how does it affect your life now?
Obviously it kind of sets up this false ideal of what a certain group of people should be, right? I mean, it's in the same vein as any other stereotype you see for any disenfranchised group. And it puts those of us who are put in that category in an awkward place, because we're often used as a point of attack against other disenfranchised groups. And the fact that there's this idea that, you know, specifically Asian Americans are seen as, you know, this ideal to, you know, aspire to, all the while ignoring the other vulnerable sub-communities within the Asian American community, I think it's disingenuous, and it's not good.
How did that play out in your own life when you were growing up? Like, what were those, like, you mentioned this, like, ideal that Asian Americans kind of pigeonholed into. Like, what did that mean for you?
Well, I actually grew up in Oklahoma, of all places, so I was basically the only Asian guy in the state, more or less. So there were these levels of expectations for me, not only in terms of, like, academic performance or, or public life, you know, how you present yourself in public, but also, I would say, your personality characteristics, what your interests are, and, you know, what your goals were. Specifically growing up, everyone's like, oh, yeah, this mathy guy over here, you know, he's probably like math a lot. You know, I did, but, you know, I had other interests as well. I really like poetry, international literature, like Middle Eastern literature and stuff like that. And those aspects of my interests and those aspects of my personality were glossed over just because of this stereotype of how an Asian should be as opposed to how an Asian is. So, yeah.
And just so in your own community, let me put this away. What's your own, you mentioned you grew up in Oklahoma and you were one of the only, probably the only Asian kid around. What was your own background and experience in terms of how you interacted with and perceived African Americans?
I'm from a Filipino background, and the thing about Filipinos is that we are all over the place. So we are very open, I would think, from my perspective, very open to other groups, other cultures. So I just viewed African Americans as one of us, one of the other minorities. So I kind of had a level of kinship, although I would not say I understood the struggles they went through. I could sympathize, though. So I think that was the main aspect of that relationship between the two groups.
Yeah. And you felt that way because, right, you could sort of connect with the idea of being in the minority, not being part of a sort of dominant group?
Oh, yeah. I mean, there's a common thread with all these disenfranchised groups. It's being mischaracterized and being assigned an identity that you yourself did not identify with or construct. So being having this set of social expectations put upon my cultural group, I would say, is similar, you know, in some sense to other disenfranchised groups. So I could totally relate on that specific level.
What do you think, if at all, is there any... I don't want to editorialize, but like responsibility, or what should Asian Americans do to combat anti-blackness within their own communities, if anything?
You know, it's all about being exposed to other people, right? Because if you do not meet people, it's very easy to demonize them, to say, oh, they're not like us, they're, you know, this other type, right? But once you talk to people, once you understand where they're coming from, you know, their cultural background, it's a lot easier to connect. And I would say, like, I have an African-American partner, and, you know, we talk a lot about racial issues and stuff like that, and it's very educational. It's very enriching. And I think that if other groups, other people were to participate in these exchanges of ideas, we would see a lot less turmoil between the two groups and probably establish a common ground.
You mentioned that your partner's African-American. What's one thing you've learned from talking to them that you didn't know before when you started talking? You mentioned you talk a lot about racial issues. Is there anything in particular that stands out to you?
Well, you know, I mean, one particular thing that really stuck out to me is terminology, right? So I would always refer to the African community as black because, you know, there are, people who are not from Africa. There are people from the Caribbean, you know, Morocco, you name it. They're all over the place. So I would always use that terminology of black folk to try and be more precise with my language. But, you know, speaking with my partner, she said she did not like having an identity being linked to a color. And so that kind of changed my mind and how I used my language. So,
thank you so much for doing this. I appreciate it. Was there anything we didn't get to that you wanted to mention? Or?
Not really. Yeah, okay. Just, yeah, cool stuff.
Yeah, thanks. I'm Filipino too, by the way, so I was excited when you.
Oh,
you
nice. Yeah. Awesome.
Yeah, well, thank you so much.
Well, thank you for having
appreciate
me.
Appreciate it.
All right, cool. And good luck with the rest of your interviews.
Thanks. Yeah.